Fantastic. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Lane. Thank you, Clay. That was awesome. Love it. Last chapel. You remember what we were talking about? Yeah, we're learning how to share the gospel a little bit. And I said there were two reasons I was wanting to do this. One is to make sure it's clear in your own mind. But also, if it is clear in your own mind, I want to give you some tools, some things, maybe some tips that you can use to share with others. We're supposed to be sharing the gospel, right? That's a great commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples. So that's what we're trying to do here. And I wanted to review just a little bit. If you weren't here, by the way, it's recorded. In fact, I would like to urge you to listen to it. If you weren't here last time, just see me and I'll give you a link and you can listen to it online. Just let me know. But I pointed out, we never want to make the gospel complicated, right? It isn't complicated. Jesus said, you've got to be like a what? A child. You've got to be like a little child to come into the kingdom of God. It's not complicated. But we have an enemy. And he's a deceiver. And he likes to confuse people about the simple gospel. And so God's given us some resources in his scripture to clear away that confusion. We want to make sure it's clear. So we looked at two diagnostic questions. The first one we looked at in some detail. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that you have eternal life? That you know for certain that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? We talked about what that implies. And then we also looked at 1 John 5:13. A lot of people say, I don't think you can know. I don't think anybody can know. And he says, yes, you can. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. So he wants us to know, to have confidence in our salvation. So we looked at those diagnostic questions. The second one was, suppose something were to happen to you and you were to die today, and suppose you found yourself standing before God, and suppose he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to God? Those two questions help people understand whether they're really trusting Jesus. Maybe they're trusting Jesus but struggling for assurance. They may need some assurance. Maybe they think they're trusting Jesus but they're really not. Maybe they know they're not trusting Jesus. But in any case, it helps people evaluate where they are spiritually. Those are great questions. And then we looked at a 5-point outline of the gospel. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time on that first one today. Heaven or eternal life is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. God is merciful and loving. He's a loving God. Almost everybody will say that. He doesn't want to punish sin. More people have trouble with the second part, the truth about God. God is just and he must punish sin. Christ, who he is, he's the infinite God-man. He's God come in the flesh. We've got to know what he did. He died on the cross to pay for our sins and purchase eternal life for us, which he offers as a gift. And then we've got to know what faith is not and what it is. It's not just mental assent. It's not temporal faith. It's trusting Jesus alone for our salvation. And that's the simple gospel. And we looked at it briefly last time, but it's good sometimes to focus in on each of these because the enemy likes to confuse us about each one of these points. So the first one is grace. Heaven or eternal life is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. How do you think Satan sometimes tries to confuse people about grace? What do you think happens in a lot of people's minds that confuses them about grace? Do you have any idea at all? Anything come to mind that, okay, Arabella?
Legalism?
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, so many people. Isn't it tempting to think, I've just got to do something to earn this? That's kind of the way it is in life, isn't it? You don't get to say, hey, I'm going to work for this company over here, and they're going to give me a check every month, but I don't have to show up. You know that's not true. You got to show up, and you got to do some work, and you got to do good work, or they may fire you, right? So we get that mentality. When you're little kids, your parents say, hey, you got some chores to do. You got some responsibilities here. You need to learn to behave. You need to learn to do right. And so we get that in our head, and it can become a kind of legalism. I've got to please God by being good. Well, here's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the... Look at that next word. What is it?
Gift.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's not something you can earn or deserve. It's a gift. Look at this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the what?
Gift
of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. I got a couple of illustrations I want to share with you, and this will maybe help you keep in mind what grace is all about. Suppose you had a friend who was an incredibly skilled carpenter, one of the best carpenters in the whole world, in fact, and he really loves you. And he says, you know what? I'm going to bless this friend of mine. He's going to surprise you with an incredibly beautiful cabinet that I'm going to build. And so he goes all over the world and finds the best wood available. I mean, finest wood that you can buy. And he takes his life savings and he buys this wood and he gets everything he needs to put it together. And then he spends hours and hours and days building this beautiful cabinet for you. And finally, he takes it to your home when you're not there and he covers it with a cloth to surprise you. And then you come home and there's this thing covered up with a cloth and what is this? And your friend spent a long time putting this thing together. It's beautiful. It's perfect. And he says, I've got a gift for you just because I love you. Really? Yeah. And he says, here. And he takes the cover off and you look at it. And the first thing you do is grab a piece of sandpaper and start running toward it. Like, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to add something to it. Does that make sense? He's going to say, no. It's finished. It's perfect. Just like this. You remember one of the things Jesus said on the cross as he paid for our sins? It's finished. It's finished. And the gift is finished. And God says to us, you can't add anything to it. There's nothing you can add to it. You say, well, aren't we supposed to be good? Yes, he will make you good. When he comes to live inside you, he changes your life. He says you become a new creature and he'll live out his life through you. And yes, we will do good things, but it'll be Jesus in us. It won't be us just doing it for him so we can earn eternal life. You see the difference? There's a huge difference. The gift is free. It's not something you can earn. One more thing I've got there is a friend's gift. You might want to share this with somebody sometime. But suppose a friend said, I'm gonna give you a gift, and I've spent a lot of money on this. It's really valuable, and I hope you really like it. And they give you a gift that's way more than you thought. Oh, my goodness, there's no way I could afford this. This is an incredible gift. It's a beautiful gift. It's expensive, really expensive gift. And you say, here, let me give you at least a couple of bucks for it. No, you can't do that. How about, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a quarter. You know, the smaller amount you give, the more meaningless that is. You see what I'm saying, don't you? That's an insult to your friend. If he spent a huge amount of money on a beautiful gift, you say, well, let me add at least a couple of bucks. And that's kind of what a lot of people think they need to do. God's given them this incredible gift. And they say, okay, Lord, I'll give you my good works to add to it. You can't add to it. It's too perfect a gift. It's a perfect gift. And God wants us to understand that really, really well. Let's look just for a second here at one more thing. Man is a sinner and cannot save himself. How do you think Satan confuses us about that? You got any ideas at all about what Satan might do to confuse some people about this one? What are some of the things that people believe about this or don't believe or whatever? Anything come to mind?
Since they're a sinner, they think that they aren't good enough.
Okay. A lot of people feel like, I've just blown it so badly, there's no way God could forgive me, right? That's a very common belief. I've blown it so badly, I've messed up so badly, I can't fix it. And some people will feel like, hey, I've got to fix it myself before I can please God. I've talked to people about Jesus before and they said, well, I got to get some things right in my life first. They can't. You know, we're all sinners and none of us can get it right. We have to come to him and let him fix it. Yeah, good point. Anything else come to your mind of how people get confused about the sin issue? Yes, Arabella, go ahead.
Humanism?
Okay, yeah. You know what humanism teaches? You enough into that?
Yeah, it's sort of like human-centric that we are our own God. The way we control our actions and the human condition is perfected.
Yeah, and humanism is very strong in our country today. It's a religion. It's very strong. And the idea is I get to decide what's right and what's wrong. I'll decide what's right for me and I'll decide what's wrong for me. And God says, no, you don't. I decide this. I'm the one that's going to tell you what sin is. What did you start to say? I'm sorry.
That if you can be good enough, you're good enough for God.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, wasn't it? If I can just be good enough, if I can just get rid of this sin, maybe God will accept me because I'm good enough. And it won't work. We can't be good enough. We cannot be good enough. We can't save ourselves. Yeah, that's very good. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, I've sinned. Sure, we all sin. I mean, I've done some things that are wrong, but I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, I've done more good than bad, so surely God will let me in, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of confusion about sin. We're going to talk more about that next time, and I'll give you several illustrations that will help you with this, okay? This is good stuff. You may be saying, well, why didn't you do something about Christmas? This is what Christmas is all about. It really is. What do we celebrate at Christmas?
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday. Have you heard the word incarnation? Do you know what incarnation means? We celebrate the incarnation. You know what it means?
Incarnation means like to be put on, put here?
Yes. It means he became one of us. He's God, and he became a man. Incarnation means in the flesh. Have you ever eaten chili con carne? Have you ever heard of chili con carne? What's that mean?
Chili with meat.
And it's like Jesus said, I'm coming to put some meat on. He became one of us. He became one of us. He was incarnated, and we celebrate that. God became one of us, and he lived a perfect life, guys. He did not sin. And he came for one reason. And it wasn't just to show us how to live, although he did that. And it wasn't just to work some awesome miracles, although he did that. Why did he come? Why did he come? Yeah, to save us, to die. He came to die. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So guys, please, at Christmas time, as you celebrate, as you go through the Christmas programs, as you maybe celebrate in your own home, don't stop with the manger. Don't stop at the manger. Keep reminding yourself, okay, thank you for coming, Jesus. I know why you came. You came to die. Thank you for dying for me. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for these wonderful songs the sixth graders sang for us, and thank you for the wonderful song that Amanda and Clay and Lane sang for us, and thank you for the wonderful Christmas carol we got to all sing together, and thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you that you have sent your Son to become flesh, and thank you that he was willing to come to die in our place. Lord, we don't deserve this gift. We know that, and we know there's nothing we could do to add to it. There's nothing we could do to ever, ever, ever pay for it or to ever, ever, ever deserve it. You have just given us the most incredible gift imaginable. So help us just to trust Jesus. Help us just to trust you. Help us just to let you fill our lives with yourself, forgiving our sins, cleansing us, making us your kids now and forever. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the awesome gift. Thank you for this time of the year. Help us to celebrate it well. Help us to celebrate you well, to worship you well. Help us to bring you glory. Help us to keep our perspective right. Help us to be a blessing to our family members. Help us to be encouragers. Help us just to remember that you're with us all the time and never to forget that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Use us the rest of this day for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a Merry Christmas.